This episode of Star Wars in Character is sponsored by Audible.com. Audible.com offers well over 100 Star Wars audiobook titles, including Millennium Falcon, a story that sends a Solo family on an expedition to learn about the people, places, and events tied to the iconic starship. You can download a free audiobook from Audible.com, including Millennium Falcon, or any of the other 85,000-plus audiobook titles Audible.com carries by visiting our website at www.swic.neozaz.com and clicking on the audible.com link at the top of the page.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Bossk. Bossk made an appearance in Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back of the Star Wars Saga. My name is Coruscant Chris. Today I am joined by Handmaiden Matt.
Oh, you prick. I hate you.
I'm running out of M's.
How can you be running out of M's?
Give me a list. I'll be happy to use them.
I can't believe that.
Handmaiden.
Dak Dave.
You did that one already.
Yeah, you did Dak Dave.
Repeat.
Yeah. Darth Dak Dave. Okay. I think this too. Ton Wee Tim.
No.
Okay. That was Ton Wee.
What is that?
That skinny neck chick from Clone.
That's the Kaminoan.
Isn't that the chick that slept with OJ? Ton Wee Katane.
Ton Wee Tim, share us some facts about Bossk, please.
All right. Bossk is a Trandoshan from the planet Trandosh. Trandoshans, they take pride in their Wookiee hunting, and apparently, Bossk's first act upon hatching from his egg was eating all of his unhatched siblings. So he is a born hunter.
He was hatched from an egg?
Yeah.
He's a reptile. Sure.
He's lizard.
He's a mork? Okay. Go ahead.
He's mork. Bossk from Mossk.
So.
Wait a second.
We'll back up here.
He was hatched.
Yes, yes.
He was hatched from an egg.
Correct, Dave.
And ate his sibling.
He was hungry.
I'm trying to picture this like a big nest.
Like, it was like one of those big alien queens or something. A boss queen.
Yeah, he just hatched. He was ready to hunt. He started eating the other unhatched eggs to much to the delight of his father, apparently. His father was very proud of this.
I can see why.
My boy.
But
that's a creepy fact, Tim.
It's a fact. It's a fact.
Chris said, "Share us some facts, not creep us the fuck out."
in the original script for Return of the Jedi, before Empire Strikes Back, Bossk is described as a slimy tentacled monster with two huge bloodshot eyes and a soft baggy face. Which doesn't really describe him at all.
George Lucas was performing a self-portrait.
I looked in the mirror.
There's my soft, baggy friend. But, Bossk first met up and worked with his fellow bounty hunter, Boba Fett, during the Clone Wars when he helped a young Boba along with fellow bounty hunter from episode 1, Aura Sing, attempt to kill Mace Windu in revenge for Mace chopping the head off of Boba's father, Jango Fett.
Now, this was in the cartoon?
This was at the end of season 2 of the Clone Wars. It was a 3-episode arc. And and Bossk and Aura Sing show up in this one in pretty substantial roles. And in this one, we actually learn, much to the anger of fans everywhere, including myself a little bit, that Bossk actually speaks English.
Oh, that is disappointing.
Yeah. Like in the, when you watch, Empire Strikes Back, he's cool because he just sort of snarls and makes these weird noises. So you sort of assume that that's how he speaks, but in the cartoon. And I understand why they did it, because it's a kid's cartoon and they wanted to make it a little more accessible so people could understand what he's saying. But they used D. Bradley Baker, who's the voice of all of the clones, to do the voice of Bossk. But he speaks well, English.
Hi there, everybody.
Chip, chip, cheerio. Off to the hunt.
So he's helping Boba Fett get revenge on for his father's death.
Yes.
But everything that I saw, you know, in this extended universe stuff, has them being always at odds.
Probably when they get older. I remember, like, in those Tales from the Bounty Hunters, they always allude to them being, you know, rivals. And I guess, like, in the whole bounty hunter world, you're either rivals or you're working together, and sometimes you have to do both to get the job done. So apparently the bounty hunters have a guild. So Bossk was a member of the Bounty Hunters Guild along with Boba Fett, and I'm assuming all of those other ones that you see on the Star Destroyer in Empire, like Zuckuss and Forlom or 4LOM, depending on who you ask.
Now you mentioned the thing about him speaking English, and in watching that scene in Episode 5, it starts out with Admiral Piet kind of down in that pit with those other Imperial officers, and he says, "Bounty hunters, we don't need that scum." And it seems like...
And the guy says real fast, "Yes, sir." Like right after that.
Well, it seems like Bossk, even though they're pretty far away, it seems like Bossk hears him. Because when he walks over there and you see Bossk's toes hanging over, Bossk says something to him. It's not even just a growl. It's a word.
Yeah.
It's almost like he curses at him.
Yeah.
Like he heard what he said.
Right. Yep, that's how I always thought he was saying something. I didn't think he spoke English.
No. There's definitely eye contact and recognition between the two of them. Like he goes over and it's like, "Oh shit, he heard me."
Yeah.
he definitely says a word to him in some
other language, yeah.
Un-English language.
Bosconese.
Yeah, Bosconese, Trandoshan.
So I guess everybody up until this episode of the Clone Wars aired always just assumed that he would just primarily spoke in his I guess the Trandoshan language. I don't know if that's ever been defined like Klingon or Huttese or anything. But yeah, it was kind of weird to hear this English voice, but they kind of got the flavor of the Bossk that you hear in Episode 5, just that with the kind of like snarly sort of growl sort of talk.
That's what they do for the audiobooks. There's a small series, three-part series called The Bounty Hunter Wars, and I think the opening scene is actually with Bossk. I think they say in the book, and I don't, it's been so long since I've read or listened to these, but I think they say he's speaking his native tongue, but of course they print it in English, and then the audiobook, you know, he's reading it, but he does kind of like the snarl, hissy sound, you know, as he's talking in the character's voice.
Yeah.
Now, have you guys met this guy? Is his name Harris? Is that his last name?
Alan Harris, yes.
Yeah. Bossk was played by Alan Harris.
That's recently.
We just met him at Celebration 5. This is the first time we had met him. I always assumed that we were never going to meet him because he would never do conventions in the United States ever. You would always see him doing all these things over in Europe. It's like, oh, but he never comes over to the U.S. And apparently we had heard that he had a fear of flying. So when we went to the convention, I went up to him. I don't think, Chris, you weren't with me when I went up. I think I just went up by myself. And I kind of thanked him. I said, "Oh, thank you for coming to this. I understand that you have a fear of flying." And he went on to explain. He's like, "Well, no, wasn't really me. My wife always had a fear of flying, so I would never fly for her sake. But she passed away last year, and so I'm able to fly now." And,
all aboard!
Wow.
Yeah, and at that point, you're just sort of like,
"Well, that's good.
What do you say?" Yeah, it's like, "Well, thank you, thank your wife for me for passing away.
Well, you should get your
autograph on my poster."
You should have said, "Lucky me, your wife died."
Yeah.
We were so excited seeing his name announced as one of the
guests. Because like to me, he's like number two behind Boba Fett. He's like one of the coolest characters in any Star Wars medium anywhere, you know, movies, cartoons, anything. He's like one of my favorites. Well, actually, probably is my favorite.
Why do you feel that way? I think, and not that you're alone. I think at least I know I feel the same way. Yeah. And most people do. Why do you think that is? Because I timed it out. This is my favorite thing to do at once.
Okay.
Because I was convinced, I'll ask you guys now, you know, the famous scene of Piet that we just talked about, and his toes are hanging over the little ledge there.
Yes.
What do you think is greater, FaceTime or toe time on screen?
I think just because you're asking, it's got to be toe time.
Toe time.
I thought so, too. Toe time, 10.8 seconds. FaceTime, 12.4.
Oh, you tricked me.
I was in the same.
That's true.
Total of 23.2 seconds, yet he is one of the most beloved Star Wars characters.
He looks so badass, just standing there with that awesome gun. I always, though, had a problem with his arms never like looking like they bend.
I know.
I never saw elbows on his arms.
He always, his action figure for like those vintage ones just looks spot on. It looks so good.
Yeah.
When you compare some of those old figures, and I think that was part of it. He just had such a nice looking figure, just like Boba Fett. Boba Fett had a great looking figure.
Yeah.
So as a kid, when you're playing, you want to play with the neat looking guys.
Yeah. As far as the costumes went, I mean, if you couldn't dress up as Boba Fett and you had to be a bounty hunter, he had to be your second choice. I mean, who wants to dress up like Zuckuss or Dengar?
Dengar was always like to me like the Corky of the bounty hunters.
Yeah, I thought he just got out of like a street fight or something. Just got back from getting his ass whooped.
Yeah. He always looked like the kid who was sent to back to class.
Right.
I think part of the appeal of him is that once you got through the cantina scene in episode 4, A New Hope, the movies are pretty devoid of any kind of creatures until you get to Bosk and Yoda and Empire Strikes Back. After the cantina scene in the original Star Wars, it's all helmets, humans, ships, robots. Space, robots, and
Ugnaughts.
Ugnaughts.
Well, same thing pretty much until you get to him in Empire Strikes Back. So like when you're, like you said, playing with the toys, you got a bunch of stormtroopers, you got, you know, a bunch of humans. And there were not many creatures to play with. You had the four people that represented the entire creature cantina that we talked about on our Hammerhead episode. Mm-hmm. And then you had Bosk. And I remember my Bosk was beat to hell.
Yeah.
The head, I actually had the head glued back on because they popped off because I used them constantly. So, yeah, I'm wondering if it's just the fact that there were so many just men in armor and helmets and robotic people that there weren't that many creatures to play with. So when you got a hold of him, like you said, you played with him a lot.
Yeah.
How many times as a kid did you put up all the figures and like react the whole scene there? Every bounty hunter lining up.
Yeah.
Seven.
Yeah. It's seven.
I remember. See, I never had a whole, I don't think I ever had all of the bounty hunters all at once.
Oh.
I know like I would lose a figure here and there. So I was never able to do that. Sad. For me, I think with Bosk is when as a kid, I was in love with dinosaurs. And he looks like a dinosaur to me. He was like 1980s Jurassic Park.
He's like a humanoid T-Rex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's fascinating to just even look at him. Even just look, when I was looking at the pictures going through, you know, on Google, images, you just sort of stop and stare. Cause he's such a neat looking character.
And Tim's about to trip in some weird territory here, I think.
Lizard.
And then I looked up Bosk hentai, and then ooh. No. I haven't searched, but I'm sure it's out there.
You blew my website of the week.
Bosshentai.org.edu.
Well, in looking at the way he's dressed, even there's, you know, I did a lot of the, to me, the most interesting things are like the legend of what he's not in. And we could talk about that as far as Return of the Jedi. But then there's this other thing going on in the cantina scene in the original Star Wars. The suit that he wears, a guy in the cantina is wearing that exact suit. It's
Boshek.
Is that his name?
Boshek, yeah.
The guy in the space helmet.
Yep.
He's
That's not Boshek. I don't Boshek is the guy with the sideburns.
No, it's not that guy. I know the guy you're talking about now. It's a similar thing. There's a guy standing in the background. He's got just a pretty generic space helmet on. You can't see his head. But from neck to boots, it's the yellow flight suit that Bosk wears.
it's pretty cool because during the resources I discovered a little background about that outfit. And you may have read this also, Dave. The Bossk outfit is actually a high altitude pressure suit designed in 1962 for the British Royal Air Force. And so I went and I did a Google image search for a high altitude pressure suit. And there's all these old pictures from the 60s and early 70s of like guys and women wearing like Bossk suits complete with the white flak jacket. Or the flak vest that he has. It's basically a Bossk suit, but just a regular person wearing it, getting into an airplane, which I thought was kind of interesting. Yeah. And that flak vest shows up, you know, with all the X-Wing pilots. Mm-hmm. So it shows up throughout the entire original trilogy, this repurposed, probably bought it at a surplus of these pressure suits that Bossk and, you know, Luke wear and Boshek and all these guys all throughout through the trilogy.
Right.
And these old war veterans that opened these stores suddenly could retire after Empire Strikes Back for these people making their homemade costumes. Damn.
But one of the things I saw too said, now I could not tell this on the picture because the suit that I'm talking about is in the movie for a very brief time. And with the guy with the space helmet, some people think there's like a Star Wars urban legend that there's an American flag on the arm, like a patch of an American flag on the arm of the guy.
Wow.
But I couldn't tell that. But there are people out there that swear that that's what it is. Sounds to me like it would make more sense if it was a British flag.
Yeah. So let's wait for the Blu-ray.
Matt.
No, I'm not saying anything this week.
At different points during the career of Bossk, it seemed like he accepted bounty assignments for just about every major character in the Star Wars universe with all the expanded universe stuff. I guess the first one that he accepted was actually for Luke. This is before the Han and Chewie and the Empire Strikes Back stuff. And Luke actually cut off some arms and legs of Bossk, which eventually grew back because he has that regeneration power, I guess.
That's
but there was a pic.
Right.
there was actually a picture. I don't know if it was. I think it may have been maybe in this month's Star Wars Insider where they show a Bossk, or they show Bossk sitting there, but he's got those little tiny arms and legs growing back, and he's just like waiting for him to get back to full size. It's pretty funny. I think it's in this month's Insider, the one with Chewbacca on the cover. So head to Barnes & Noble and check it out.
I want to head right over here.
Do you have it?
I do. I think
it's in that one.
Well, you want to go get it? Are you too lazy to get up and go get it?
Do you have a subscription to that magazine or something, Chris?
Oh, you really have to ask that question.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah. Sorry.
I think he's had that subscription for like 14 years going on strong.
way to keep print media alive, Chris.
I'm back.
Well, it seems to me in all the expanded universe stuff that his main foe is not only Chewbacca, but that these Trandoshans hate Wookiees for some reason. What did you find out about that, Tim?
Apparently, like that's Wookiees are supposed to be the most difficult thing to hunt in the world or in the universe. So it's a very dangerous sport. So the Trandoshans kind of like the Predator, you know, the Predator and the Alien. Hmm. I guess it's sort of like that where they're constantly at odds. I remember when I was a kid reading somewhere that Trandoshans, that Bossk came from Kashyyyk. Like the Bossk, at the time I didn't know what they were called, Trandoshans, but the Bossk people came from the Wookiee planet. But I couldn't find anything that supported that. But for some reason, that growing up, that's how I always thought of them, as they both grew up on the same planet, so they couldn't stand each other and they were always fighting. But
like the Jets and the Sharks.
Yeah, when you're a jet, you're a jet.
I'm Trandoshan, you're a Trandoshan.
I'm looking at it right now.
Do you see that picture?
Yeah, he's a little tiny.
It's funny, isn't it?
T-Rex. Yeah.
What page?
I'll have to
tell everybody.
Page 19, Star Wars Insider with Chewbacca on the cover.
So what issue number?
Issue 124, April and May 2011.
You don't get this kind of research on other podcasts.
That's right. You get yelled at for not worshiping at the altar of Lucas.
I will take a photo of this and I'll post it up on Facebook page.
See that? Look at that.
Top that.
I'm not saying anyone specific.
Tim, are you good with all your facts? Do you have more?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we pretty much went through all three, but we'll go back to Alan Harris real quick. Alan Harris also appeared as a he was a Besman security guard. He's the gray haired Besman security guard that you see pushing Han Solo's carbon body down the thing. And he also, and I wish I knew this at the time that we were in freaking Orlando getting his autograph, because he was also Terrence Stamp's stand-in / double on episode one. So he did work on The Phantom Menace as Terrence Stamp's double. And he does kind of look like Terrence Stamp. If you ever look a picture of Alan Harris, he's very Terrence Stamp-like.
He's very Terrence Stampy.
He's Terrence Stampy. He also, during the original trilogy, did stand-in work for Anthony Daniels as
Every
well.
Time you're saying stand, I thought you were about to say stand-up, and I get a little excited. But
he's doing stand-up. What is the deal with C-3PO?
Buddy Hunter walks into a bar.
Well, you were telling me, Chris, about this other Wookiee stuff, too, about him cutting the hides off of Wookiees.
I read he, like, skinned Wookiees.
And what, kept the pelts? Like, as a trophy? Like, predator style?
I believe that's how that book series I was just talking about starts. I think the opening scene takes place at some arena in Transdosia or whatever the hell the place is called, and it's like a Wookiee pelt weigh-in. It's like
the, yeah, and I think the name of the story in that Tales of the Bounty Hunters, it has like Wookiee pelt in
it's not the Bounty Hunter Wars. I think you're talking about I'm talking about the wrong one. Tim's right.
Sounds like a bass fishing contest, like weigh in at the end.
Yeah, so if if you could, you like hide chunks of flesh in there and cheat.
Tim, I think this April 1st finale has the Wookiees versus these guys.
Ooh.
And I think Frozen.
calm down, Tim. It's okay.
I heard a rumor. No, I can't wait.
That you'll just finally see a Wookiee tearing off someone's arms.
That's what I want to see. We've been hearing about it for, 35 years? Now I want to see it.
I want to see his arm get torn off.
Yep, and then grow back as a teeny tiny little arm.
Yeah. He's Trandoshans. What's a big deal?
True. Yeah, it's like...
It's like an escape mechanism, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just lose an arm. Yeah, push. Yeah, take it.
Here, take it.
Do you know why? He had a spare.
Oh, God.
Coming soon to the great 80s, the great 80s movie debate. This is what I want to talk about before.
Yeah, I thought we were about to wrap up without talking about this.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this to me is the most interesting thing about him, is whether or not he is actually in Return of the Jedi. And it seems like this has been a debate going on for a while that I just found out about today.
Really?
I had no idea. But my son and I were scouring, I guess it was actually when we watched the Rancor Keeper scene. We were watching it, and just as Luke and the Gamorrean guard fall into the Rancor pit, and Jabba's throne is sliding forward, you see these two guys step up from the right, or from left to right, and one of them kind of looks like Bosk. And the other one really looks like Dengar.
Yeah.
Now, I went online, and Tim, am I saying this right? Saurins is a subspecies of Trandoshans.
Yeah, aren't those there's a little guy in the cantina that looks kind of like a Bosk.
Yes, but they don't have a neck. Like Bosk has like a neck. These guys are very more dinosaur-like looking. I think Saurins are a subspecies. That's at like the 25-minute mark. It doesn't look too much like Bosk, but it really looks like Dengar. So we can talk about that scene maybe when we do the Dengar episode eventually.
We're doing a Dengar episode?
That's not even the thing that to me was most interesting. Now, there's these other scenes that may or may not have happened on Jabba's sail barge. And Chris pointed out to me, and then I found them. There are several still photos of Bosk.
Of him sitting down.
Yeah, there's one with him sitting down with his arm resting. And then there's another one that I found of him and Ryiz looking out of the window, assuming that they're looking at Luke being forced into the Sarlacc pit. It's definitely him.
Unless it's another species of
him. There may have been a one of the Return of the Jedi, because there was like 19 different series of Return of the Jedi cards. I do remember seeing like a card or a picture that had Dengar, and a card or picture that also had Bosk as a kid, because I used to buy all those packs of cards. So I do recall seeing photos of him, and you might even see him in the background in like the old Return of the Jedi children's storybook when you would look at the photos of like all the people behind Luke Skywalker. And so I think he was there, and according to the Wikipedia, to Wikipedia, there is a picture of him right there on the sail barge.
Well, because I had time before we did this, my son and I looked at it again. We watched that whole scene frame by frame with the pause. I'm a little ashamed that I just said that sentence, but it did happen. Now, we watched it, and I even wrote down the time code. He is in Return of the Jedi twice.
I think you
can see him.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the times if you're listening at home and you want to do this. God bless you. At the 31 minute and 25 second mark, he is standing behind C-3PO. You can certainly see his head, his beady eyes, his yellow jumpsuit. And then again, at 32 minutes and 4 seconds, he's standing next to Ri-Yi's. It's very hard to see. You have to go pause, pause, pause. You have to go frame by frame. But he is definitely there.
So the question is, if he was there, he presumably got killed when the thing blew up. So all of Tim's facts are...
No shit.
Null and void.
All of the facts post Return of the Jedi, which I actually skipped quite a bit because it just sort of seemed like he kept running into Han Solo and Chewbacca. You know, it just sort of seemed like that. Every story has him running into Han Solo and Chewbacca.
I'm surprised he didn't get shoehorned in Revenge of the Sith then. Kashyyyk.
It was kind of difficult going through his history because I thought that it was just so dull, with few exceptions. And but apparently, according to official Star Wars lore, long after Return of the Jedi, he runs into Han Solo and starts shit with him over the fact that Chewie is dead. And they both get into a big fight, get thrown into jail. Han Solo gets released. Box doesn't, and we don't know what happens after that.
Han's trying to have a nice dinner with his family at the restaurant that Malak Ali and Jabba's chef opened up, and in comes Box starting shit.
Yeah.
Is it the crescent moon or twilight moon or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was the crescent moon.
I saw that too, but, you know, and I'm not that I care that much, but there probably are deleted scenes, a lot of deleted scenes that maybe they'll end up putting on the Blu-ray that maybe he was there or wasn't there and they edited him out, but they did not totally edit him out. So if you're going to take it from these seriously very few seconds that he's in the background and you see his yellow sleeve and his beady eyes, he died on that ship. You don't see him diving off the ship as it explodes and running through the sand going, "Ooh, hot, hot."
I'm cold-blooded. God damn it, get me out of the desert.
I think it's probably only on the widescreen version, so you probably can only see him.
Yeah, but everybody has that anymore.
True.
Yeah.
Now, I'm saying he was on that ship and died that day.
I agree.
Ergo, the past 30 minutes never happened.
Oh, well. Awesome. Tell me your dirty facts.
I'm done.
Matthew.
Yes, Christopher.
Website time.
Okay, so I had to try to pinpoint what I wanted to share and an easy to way place to find it. So and with that, since the site is so simple and it's a site everyone knows, I'm going to pick two things from the site. So the site's YouTube, which obviously everybody knows, but specifically on YouTube, and they'll be on the our Facebook page and our show notes. First thing I wanted to share was that, are you guys familiar with Fetz Vet by MC Chris?
I know it from which Kevin Smith movie?
Oh, yes, Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
Zach and Mary Make a Porno, yes.
Yep, well, he has his latest album that came out last August, has a song on it called Bosk on a Segway. So someone put up, you know, a homemade video. It's not an official MC Chris video, but it's a, you know, a place you can hear the songs. I'll put that on there. And since I'm cheating sort of with YouTube, I'm also going to put my favorite Kenner commercial, which is what I love about this is that they're advertising, you know, Empire Strikes Back figures. And they say, you know, with 4 proof of purchases, you can get the secret figure. Bosk. I'm like, so the secret was like 0.2 seconds long. So they revealed it in the next sentence. So I'll put that old Kenner on there, commercial on there as well. So that's what I picked for this week.
Those are awesome. I love seeing those old ads for the toys. Yeah.
I had forgotten that he was a mail away figure. That's pretty cool. And again, I think that also adds in with the whole mystique of him. If you think about all those mail away figures back in the day, they're all sort of fan favorites. There was Fett, Bosk, Admiral Akbar, the Emperor.
Nine Nub.
They were all mail away. That was awesome.
Anakin Skywalker's ghost.
Yeah, the ghost of Anakin, mail away figure.
Smiley.
I got to hear the song because Fett's Vet is funny. So.
It's different than Fett's Fett. You might like it. I don't know what your taste in rap is, so I'll let you decide. I'm not gonna say that it's good or bad. It's different. That's all I'll say. I'll let everyone else be the judge.
Excellent.
Excellente. Well, it's that time, Dave.
What time is that?
Oh, I forgot about this part. I did. I was like,
yeah.
It's trivia time.
Yeah, trivia.
Yay!
Welcome to Star Wars in Character Trivia. Now, I'd like to point out the score before we go. And I'm going to say exactly what Matt said I should say it last time. The score is 5-5-5 to Chris.
I only get 4. One behind.
Yes, you do. But you're going to go first, okay?
All right.
So these are straight up Star Wars character questions from the original trilogy only. Are you ready for your question?
I am ready.
All right. Who was the first character shown entering the hallway of Jabba the Hutt's palace? Who was the first character shown entering the hallway of Jabba the Hutt's palace? You're thinking awfully long and hard about this.
Thinking what?
I am going to say R2-D2.
Is that your final answer?
It is, Regis.
That's correct.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Congratulations.
Can you say the scores again right now?
No. Cannot. All right. That means it's Matt's turn.
All right, here we go.
Matt, your question is, who told Han, quote, put that thing away or you're going to get us all killed?
Oh, crap. Which one of those two said it? I am going to guess the one who is bitchiest in that scene and say Princess Leia.
Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
That's correct.
That was so appropriate, hey. Whether I got the answer right or wrong. I love that.
All right, so we're batting 1,000 here, Tim.
Hey.
Are you ready?
I think so. I'm going to get this one wrong.
Can
I feel it.
Can someone just get it wrong? I can have someone with me at the bottom.
Well, I guess that's up to Tim.
Tim, please.
Yeah.
Tim, here's your question.
Okay.
Who did Vader warn with the words, quote, don't fail me again?
Oh, my God. Who does he say?
Who did Vader warn with the words, quote, don't fail me again?
His feet. Feet, don't fail me now. Sorry. I couldn't hold back on that one.
Shoot, who?
Feet, don't.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm probably wrong. Admiral Ozzel.
That is incorrect.
Oh!
Yes.
The answer is Piet.
Duh.
All
right.
Does it say Admiral Piet or Captain Piet?
It says Piet.
Oh.
That's why
even they weren't sure.
Yeah.
They're like, who cares? Just write something.
I knew it was one of the officers, but I was trying to think of when in the movie he said that, but yes.
I just love the idea of hearing James Earl Jones' voice all digitized. Feet, don't fail me now.
All right, Tim, I'm a little disappointed in you.
I accept that.
Well, if it's a prequel question, you know what I cleaned up.
But we ain't having none of that.
No.
Oh.
Ow. Ow. All right, Dave, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Whose first words to Han in Star Wars Special Edition, it says.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Are Solo, come out of there, Solo.
Solo, come out of there, Solo.
Yes.
Uh-oh. His first words in Star Wars Special Edition are Solo, come out of there, Solo. Well, because it specifies the Special Edition.
It does.
I am going to say the humanoid version No, not the humanoid version. What once was the humanoid version, but superimposed with the horrible version of Jabba the Hutt.
You are correct.
Yes.
What was that? That was sounding like a Price is Right sound.
It said, Solo, come out of there alone. Or Solo.
All right, well, let's do a score recap. I think, Chris, you're 5.
I do.
But.
Correct.
Matt and I have 6.
You're right.
Yes, we do.
Someone else has joined you.
Mm-hmm. The leader.
At the bottom.
Tim, at the bottom.
So it's 5-6. To 5-6.
All right. That's right. There was next time.
There is.
And, all right.
And what will we be doing next time, Chris?
We would like to thank you for listening about Bossk. Join us next time we discuss Kit Fisto.
Woo! Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.
And even you would have appreciated this, Matt, as bad as the prequels were, was the opening night.
Oh, God. I can only imagine.
People were nuts. And Tim was there. We were there.
I saw it. I sat in almost just about the same seat in all three.
I knew episode one was the wizard guys.
Yeah, yeah.
We walked around like the perimeter of the building, and the line went all the way around the building. And the people were just... I had a fever pitch. It was so funny just to see the people in costumes. And then that dude pulled up in it with his car decorated like a X-Wing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Blaring the theme, just tooling around the parking lot. And like they started like fall apart as he was driving past. It was so much fun to watch the people. And then these two dudes had a full-scale lightsaber battle. In the lobby, wailing on each other with those nice ones. And the one guy was dressed as Vader. And then he was fighting everyone, all like anyone that would take him on. And these two guys double teamed him. And the one guy went behind him and took a plastic lightsaber and went whoop up his butt. And the guy got so mad. He just did. And they were like high-fiving each other. And he was just pissed. Yeah.